Well, this morning, not going to be long. We've taken a lot of time and just going through different things here today, and it's been good. I hope you've been blessed and encouraged. I sure have. But I just want to take a bit of time and just wrap up our Life of the Church series that we've been doing in the month of March. Something a little bit different. As typically here at church, we go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter to chapter, and we are in the book of Hebrews doing a study in that on Sunday mornings. Well, we've taken a bit of a pit stop after chapter 10 here, and we've taken this time in March to go through the life of the church. What are we all about? And we've had Gordon and Pastor Randy and Roger sharing on our Sunday mornings and our Wednesdays, looking at various things. And we've kind of been going through a bit of the Calvary Chapel distinctive book to some degree, not just going through it, you know, completely, but looking at some of the points that are very scriptural in that as kind of the model of the church. And we've looked at how it's the Lord's church. This is His church, and He builds it, and we just desire to follow Him. We've looked at the importance of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, leading us, directing us, not stepping out in the flesh, but being led of the Spirit. We've talked about the importance of love and the supremacy of love in our body, and that everything we do is not for ourselves or it's not about us, but it's about walking in love for the Lord, for one another. And so we talked about a number of different things, building the church God's way. And today, I just want to wrap it up and talk about the importance of a venture of faith. And it's been amazing how this is all kind of lined up. It's not really been intentional, but we've seen the Lord's hand in all of this because we just heard from a group of people who have taken a venture of faith in going down to Mexico. And there have been people that have stepped out of their comfort zones. There have been people that have stepped out unsure of how God's going to provide for them, unsure of what they're going to do and how it's all going to work out. But they've taken a venture of faith and they've been blessed by it. We've heard today from a family who's taken a venture of faith to Japan, and certainly may not have been their first choice, but they've been willing to begin to step forward and step out in faith and trust the Lord to guide them and direct them. And here the Lord is just stirring in their hearts a real passion once more for the people there in Japan, and they're taking a real venture of faith. And we as a church, as you've just heard, you know, we're going to be embarking on a great venture of faith now as we've sold the building, Lord willing, and that He works it all out. But now venturing off in faith because we don't know what the next step is. But nor do we want to sit back and just be idle. We want to be moving forward in faith, venturing out and seeing how the Lord now wants to lead us and direct us. And I believe for a church to move forward and to be utilized by the Lord in the way that He desires will be a church that is operating in faith and willing to take ventures of faith. Because it is so easy to sit back. It's so easy to sit back and just kind of become comfortable and to become complacent to some degree and just sort of go through the routines of church, you know. It's so easy to get into that kind of just sort of tradition, just be moving forward in just the common ground in a sense. And yet, the life that is not willing to step out and take risks is kind of a boring one, isn't it? We can all be very comfortable, but yet I believe that God wants us to be those that are moving forward, trusting Him, willing to step out into the unknown and be risk takers for Him. To be people who step out both individually and corporately as a church. And I believe the church that is willing to do that is a church that's really on the move and seeing the Lord do great things. Because we know that as believers, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. And everything that we do, it's not about doing that which is safe and which is comfortable and saying, well, I know how to do that. I know what this looks like. I can do that. There's times for that, but we walk by faith and not by sight. There are times where we need to step out and say, I don't know how God's going to move here. I don't know what God's going to do here, but I'm going to begin to step out, and I'm going to begin to take some risks and see how God might begin to direct that and how God might use that. That's the life that's exciting. And we walk by faith, not by sight, meaning that we don't have to be governed by the things that we see. Because our sight can be so limiting, can it? Because we're looking at what we know, what we see, but God is working on a completely different level, isn't he? He's not working on that same physical dimension that we are. God's doing things that we don't always see or know. And if we're just relegating ourselves to working and operating based on what we see and know, then we're limiting God, aren't we? God's saying, I've got so much more in store. I've got so many more things that I can do and how I can move here, but you're just playing it safe and walking in those areas that you know to be comfortable and safe. You know, and this is interesting too, because as we get back into the chapter of Hebrews that we're in chapter 11, guess what we're going to be talking about? Faith. Again, it's been so exciting to see how this is all lined up. We didn't plan it that way, but this is how it's moving. And we're going to be talking in chapter 11 next time we get into Hebrews in a few weeks. We're going to be talking about faith. And it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Why? Because we can't see God, but we got to trust him. We got to trust in that which we don't see. And it's the light that's continually moving and walking in faith, not by sight. And as we're doing that, trusting him, we're going to be pleasing him. We can't possibly be the kind of Christians or followers of Christ unless we are those that walk by faith. And that takes an element of stepping into the unseen and the untried at times. Listen to what Pastor Chuck says here. He says, it's always an exciting thing to give God a chance to work. God wants you to be a part of what he is doing. God doesn't want to stop working, so it's important for us to discover what he wants to do. I found that the way we discover how God wants to work is to venture out in faith. We need to step out and see what the Lord might do. I like that. Stepping out and seeing what the Lord might do. I love the story in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Turn there if you have your Bibles. 1 Samuel 14. This is the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan, Saul's son, who is willing to go up against a Philistine garrison and take him on. Jonathan and his armor bearer were risk takers. Listen to what we read here. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sena. The front of one faced northward toward Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. And then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Don't you love that? I love what we read in that Jonathan says. He says, hey, let's go. It may be that the Lord will work for us. You know, Jonathan didn't have a definite, go, Jonathan, I'm with you and I will lead you on to victory. Jonathan just saw an opportunity. And I could just imagine his armor bearer, Jonathan, come again. What's that? It may be that the Lord will, wait a second here, Jonathan. What do you mean it may be? That means that there's an alternative to that whole plan too. It may be that the Lord works for us. It may be that he doesn't work for us. But what's Jonathan saying? We won't know unless we go. Right? Jonathan was willing to take a venture of faith and to see how the Lord might use it and work through it. He was willing to be a risk taker. Again, like I said, too often I think we can limit God or not even give him that opportunity to do something because we're just parked on that couch of comfortability and complacency. We would just rather sit back and go, nah, that's just, we don't know. We don't know what may come of that. Let's just sit back and play it safe. And yet God's sitting there saying, oh, well, you see, I have a great plan in store here. I have a great work to do here. But God's looking for people willing to step out, willing to move forward. The story goes on here. In verse 7. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked so that it was a very great trembling. Now Jonathan here, and this is important, because Jonathan did a very smart thing. He put a safeguard around him, okay? He said, listen, if they say come up here, then we know it's of the Lord, and we'll go forward. You see, when we are those that are taking steps of faith, it's very important that we continue to hear from the Lord and be directed of the Lord. Jonathan had a safeguard where he said, if they say this, then we know it's of the Lord. If they say this other thing, then we know we're not going to do it. We're not going to press forward. We're not going to sit there and say, well, I just had that on my heart to do, and we're just going to do it anyways. See, that's where we get into trouble as a church, isn't it? Where we say, I have this on my heart. I want to do this. And as we begin to step out and we feel that maybe the Lord's not in it, not leading, when we begin to press through in our own flesh, that's when we get into trouble. Where the Lord's saying, that's not really what I have in mind here. We need to be flexible and willing to say, well, I took a chance and I stepped out. I took a risk, but you know, it doesn't seem to be flying. It doesn't seem to be going. I don't think the Lord's in it. Then what do we do? Step back. No harm done. No problem stepping back and saying, well, maybe we'll try something different here then. Maybe we'll launch out in a different way and see how the Lord might use that. And if he's in it, it'll be very clear. And if he's not, don't keep pushing forward, trying to beat that door down. You just step back and go, let's try a different door. And Jonathan did that. And he saw very clearly how God was leading and directing. I'd rather take a step forward and then a step back rather than take no steps at all. And you see, too often we're too slow in doing anything. Not meaning this church, I'm just saying in general, we can be people that are too slow to do anything because we're fearing, you know, is this right? Is this of the Lord? Should I do this or not? What will happen? Step out and see. I'd rather take a step forward, have to take a step back than not take any steps at all. And we can hear that so often from people. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord right now. And they're just remaining idle. Well, I think the Lord wants us to be moving forward. Moving forward to where he can begin to direct and lead. You know, I think of a guy like Peter. I love Peter. He's the guy that often gets labeled as, you know, the loose cannon, right? The guy with foot and mouth disease, right? Always doing something where others are just going, oh, Peter, why'd you do that? But I love about Peter, you know, when he sees Jesus coming, walking on the water, and they're all thinking, is this a ghost? Who is this? Hey, Jesus, if that's you, command that I can come out of the boat and walk on the water to you. And he begins to step out and he begins to walk on the water. Now, yeah, he got distracted and he began to sink. And we can oftentimes think about that and go, Peter, what a tragedy. He began to sink. But I look at Peter and I go, he's the only guy that was willing to step out and walk on the water. And he's the only one of the disciples that could say, I walked on water. No one else was willing to do it. No one else was willing to take that risk or take that chance. But Peter was. I like Peter. Oh, he might have had flaws and all, but he was a risk taker. And God used him greatly, didn't he? You know, the Lord used his life. I like that about him. I really believe that if we are willing to step out of the boat and give God an opportunity to show his power, that he's going to. And you and I and this church are going to be so radically blessed as a result. Listen to what else Pastor Chuck Smith says here. He says, God has a work that he desires to do. And God is simply looking for people who are in harmony with what he desires in order that he might show himself strong on their behalf. The key is to discover what it is that God wants to do. I found that the best way is just by stepping out. Try it and see. Maybe God will work. Maybe God is wanting to work. Let's give him a chance. But again, always have the attitude. If it doesn't work, let's not push it. Maintain that flexibility of being able to walk away from a project. If it's obvious that it isn't working, then let's not push it and try and make it work. I like that. God is simply looking for people who are in harmony with what he desires in order that he might show himself strong on their behalf. You know, I was reading, interestingly, let's see if I can pull this up here. All through history, we have been blessed by people who are willing to take risks. And we've also seen people who have greatly lost out because they were not willing to take a risk. Listen to what Popular Mechanics forecasted regarding the relentless march of science back in 1949. They said computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, in 1943 said, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. I've traveled the length and breadth of this country and talked with the best people, and I can assure you that data processing is a fad that won't last out the year. That was back in 1957. Ken Olson, president, chairman, and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation in 1977 said, there's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Western Union internal memo back in 1876. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. What else? There's some good ones here. Gary Cooper on his decision not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind. I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. We know how that turned out. Response to Debbie Fields' idea starting Mrs. Fields' cookies. A cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, the market research reports say America likes crispy cookies, not soft and chewy cookies like you make. Oh, boy. Apple Computer Incorporated founder Steve Jobs on his attempts to get Atari and Hewlett-Packard interested in his and Steve Wozniak's personal computer. They said, so we went to Atari and said, hey, we've got this amazing thing, even built with some of your parts, and what do you think about funding us? Or we'll give it to you. We just want to do it. Pay our salary, we'll come work for you. And they said, no. So then we went to Hewlett-Packard and they said, hey, we don't need you. You haven't got through college yet. Well, we know how that turned out. And they're thanking me for being one of their most loyal customers. Drillers who Edwin L. Drake tried to enlist to his project to drill for oil in 1859. Drill for oil? You mean drill into the ground to try and find oil? You're crazy. So anyways, just a list of a few things. There's many more. But people who have heard some ideas and thought, there's no way. Crazy. Unwilling to step out. And we've seen how it eventually came to fruition and was a great thing, great creations, great inventions. You know, I shared earlier this year, I believe it was earlier this year, that, you know, the Lord really put on my heart to be trusting the Lord for big things this year. And, you know, we're 10 years now as a church here, and it's easy to get into that just routine of things. You know, you come Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, you got your midweek stuff. And it's easy to get in the routine of just coming. You know, you do your songs of worship, you have the message and everything, and there you go. And the Lord was really putting on my heart to be trusting him for big things because we serve a big God, right? And I was finding myself even getting into that place of being content for contentment's sake. I don't know if that even makes sense, but it made sense to me as I was thinking about it. But just being content, saying, hey, you know, Lord's good. Lord's doing a neat thing, wonderful. We're just happy. We're just content. We're just serving the Lord. And you can be just getting content in contentment. But I don't want to remain there as a pastor, as a church. I don't want to remain there. Because I don't want to limit the Lord. I don't want to sit back and go, hey, we're just doing our thing and God's doing his thing and we're just serving him. I want to be stepping out and saying, God, you are more than able to do abundantly more than we could ever imagine or ask. You're a big God, and I don't want to limit you. I want to be moving forward. I want to be trusting you for great things. I want to be praying, Lord, that you will do big things within my life, within the congregation here at Riverside. That's having that venture of faith. And I believe that we've begun to see that happen here. You know, one of our big prayers for a while, and especially, you know, this year has been for the church building to sell. The Lord's answering that prayer. Continue to pray for that. And now we begin to move out and say, God, what do you have in store for us? I don't want to limit you now. You know, well, we can only do this or we can only do that. No. God never has to say, oh, I can only do this. Wait a second, people. You're asking for too much here. Who do you think I am? Well, he's God. And he can do anything he wants. And he can lead us to do anything he desires. So let's be people that are moving forward, stepping out. And that may be just within your own ministry here, within the church. Stepping out, taking a venture of faith. Saying, well, I don't know if I could work in the children's ministry. Am I qualified? Am I gifted? Can I really do that? I don't know if that's my thing. Take a venture of faith. See how it goes. I don't know if I could go hand out invites in the neighborhood. Are you kidding me? What if somebody asks me, well, what are you doing? Take a venture of faith. See how the Lord might work and use you. Guess what? I believe that the time is short. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. We got to stop just playing church. Stop being comfortable. Let's move forward. Let's move out. Roger's been talking about, you know, on Wednesday nights, the rapture of the church and prophecy and talking about all the exciting things that, you know, we get to look forward to. The Lord's coming soon. I think he even put a date on it on one of the Wednesday nights. He's been hanging out with Harold Camping, so just pray for him. But yeah, there's an excitement as we begin to keep our focus on Jesus, right? And on his soon return. May that begin to mobilize us to say, time is short. I don't want to get stuck in ruts. I don't want to get stuck in routine or tradition. I want to be active. I want to be moving forward. I want to be saying, God, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? Lord, just cause me to take ventures of faith and to see how you might work through that. That's what God's looking for. I heard it said long ago that God cannot steer a parked car. And I think that's very true. We know that to be true ourselves. You know, you got to put that thing in drive and begin to move before you can steer it. It's the same in our lives. God's looking for us just to go. That's what we did with Abraham, right? Remember? He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, said, go, I'm going to move you on. Did Abraham say, well, where, Lord? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Just go, Abraham. I'll begin to show you as you go. That's how it is for us a lot of times. Just begin to step out, and God will direct you as you begin to move. Don't sit idle, people. Time is short. I'm praying and trusting, Lord, for a great year ahead. We're only, 3 months into it. And already, I've been so blessed to see what God's doing in the church here, to see how he's moving, to see what he's doing in people's lives personally. I've been so encouraged this year. I just wanted to continue on and to see and trust the Lord for big things, taking ventures of faith. Right? Amen? Are you with me on that? All right. Well, we'll wrap it up right there. And next week, we're going to take some time and talk about Palm Sunday. And then we got Resurrection Sunday after that. And then in 3 Sundays, we'll be back in Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll get reminded once more about taking a venture of faith as we look at the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. All right, pray with me here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. And just to hear, Lord, what you're doing, how you're moving, the ways that you've worked in people's lives already in Mexico, moving people on in Japan, and And I know you're doing many more things, Lord, within our body here. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you'd continue that on, Lord. And that you would just cause us and lead us on, Lord, to be people who are taking ventures of faith. Lord, being willing to be risk takers. And to launch out and to say, God, how would you work through this? How would you lead here? Here I am. Use me. Take me, Lord, and do your work through me. Lord, may we be willing to say that. And may this church be blessed as a result. May people around us be blessed as a result. May you be glorified as a result of that, Lord. And God, we continue to pray now just for the sale of the building in Pitt Meadows, and we thank you that you brought a church along that's just had a desire to buy that, Lord, and to use it. And we pray that you would work out all the details and just allow everything to come together, and that you would cause them just to be a real witness and lighthouse there, continuing on your work, and that you would move us, Lord, now to where you would have us, God, and that you'd begin to open the doors and show us where you would want to just replant us as a church and as a fellowship, Lord. So we commit that to you, and we trust you, and God, may we be people, men and women, of great faith, Lord. Even a little bit of faith is all we need, because it's a little bit of faith in a great God, and that accomplishes great things. So we look to you now, Lord, and ask that you continue to lead us on now by your Spirit, by your grace. We pray in your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.